is the listening paper of the National Examination in English, 2003. You'll hear three different texts and do tasks on all of them. Turn to task one. Task one. You are going to hear a radio program. You are going to hear it twice. Read the sentences below. You will have 60 seconds to do this. Listen to the tape and choose the right answers. An example has been done for you.
And to end our program today, a short overview of environmental news.
Florida black bears were killed on roads by motor vehicles in record numbers last year as more humans encroached on their natural habitat, state wildlife officials this week. At the same time, wildlife officials received more calls than ever reporting bears rummaging in garbage or entering backyards. At least 120 black bears were killed by motor vehicles last year in Florida, up from 104 in 2001, according to preliminary state figures.
Ecotourism may be endangering wildlife by spreading human diseases to animals and is probably responsible for three outbreaks of tuberculosis in mongooses and meerkats in Africa, according to a study. Scientists in Botswana's Chobe National Park have documented how the human pathogen was passed on to mongooses in the popular park and followed an outbreak that killed meerkats in the Kalahari Desert.
With talons three times more powerful than a Rottweiler's jaws and fierce enough to crush a human arm in a single movement, the harpy eagle is still too weak to survive deforestation, making it one of Latin America's most threatened birds of prey. Fearful the harpy eagle soon will be extinct, the World Center for Birds of Prey has set up a leading center in Panama to breed them in captivity and later release them in greater numbers into the wild.
According to the new chief of the UN's advisory body, small islands are in severe danger of drowning as climate change is expected to raise sea levels. Small island states will be badly affected. A lot of them will be submerged. It was reported that in the next three decades, we will see impacts of climate change, such as rising sea level, impacts on agriculture, on water, and on health. The changes could have a particularly deep impact on agriculture, as coming climate changes could force temperatures as high as 50 degrees Celsius in some parts of the world.
The world's oldest industrial-scale nuclear power station, Calder Hall, in northwest England, is to shut down because of weak UK power prices. State-owned nuclear power firm, BNFL, said in a statement that the 196-megawatt plant, small by the standards of more modern nuclear reactors, would stop generating next month. The depressed price for electricity, coupled with the relatively high overheads of smaller stations such as Calder Hall, makes its continued operation uneconomic.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service believes that gray wolves across most of the lower 48 states have recovered to the extent that they should no longer be considered endangered, a decision that conservationists contend threatens one of the nation's greatest conservation success stories. Grey wolf populations will now be considered threatened instead of endangered. Government officials announced that they will now move towards delisting these populations under the Endangered Species Act.
You can count elephants with sound, researchers have found. A network of listening stations might help to census elusive forest elephants by recording their calls. Little is known about forest elephants. They live in remote regions of West Africa, hidden from aeroplanes and far from people. The usual way of counting them, looking for dung, is sketchy and labor-intensive.
The United States could field some unusual stealth weapons, a battalion of sea lions and dolphins trained as U.S. secret agents. The military mammals, trained under a special scheme in San Diego, can play a key role in defending fleets from attacks during war and preventing terrorism at home. The dolphins are trained to spot undersea mines and enemy scuba divers who may be trying to plant explosives in deep waters, while sea lions can work in shallow waters and even up to the land.
Following a public outcry, a scenic park in southwest China canceled plans to execute five troublesome monkeys that have repeatedly attacked tourists. One of the monkeys bit a tourist's hand in July. Another monkey tore off a female tourist's skirt. Park managers said later that they were instead considering plans to take the monkeys to another area far away from the park.
A blinker at night on Indian roads may no longer be an indication of an approaching vehicle. It could soon mean an elephant is on its way. Around 30 domesticated elephants in Delhi will sport reflectors to avoid accidents at night. Elephants are easily hit during late hours, and the accidents can be equally damaging for humans, as the animal swipe can be fatal.
The virulent Ebola virus is sweeping through the gorilla population in the plains and forests of northwest Congo and has brought terrible death to hundreds of members of the protected species, scientists said this week. 500 of the 800 gorillas registered in the reserve have died in just 5 months of the hemorrhagic fever, which has since January also killed 67 villagers in the region. Health officials in Congo have slapped a quarantine on the region, stopping anybody without special permits from traveling from village to village. Listen again and check your answers.
And to end our program today, a short overview of environmental news.
Florida black bears were killed on roads by motor vehicles in record numbers last year, as more humans encroached on their natural habitat, state wildlife officials this week. At the same time, wildlife officials received more calls than ever, reporting bears rummaging in garbage or entering backyards. At least 120 black bears were killed by motor vehicles last year in Florida, up from 104 in 2001, according to preliminary state figures.
Ecotourism may be endangering wildlife by spreading human diseases to animals and is probably responsible for 3 outbreaks of tuberculosis in mongooses and meerkats in Africa, according to a study. Scientists in Botswana's Chobe National Park have documented how the human pathogen was passed on to mongooses in the popular park and followed an outbreak that killed meerkats in the Kalahari Desert.
With talons 3 times more powerful than a Rottweiler's jaws and fierce enough to crush a human arm in a single movement, the harpy eagle is still too weak to survive deforestation, making it one of Latin America's most threatened birds of prey. Fearful the harpy eagle soon will be extinct, the World Center for Birds of Prey has set up a leading center in Panama to breed them in captivity and later release them in greater numbers into the wild.
According to the new chief of the UN's advisory body, small islands are in severe danger of drowning as climate change is expected to raise sea levels. Small island states will be badly affected. A lot of them will be submerged. It was reported that in the next 3 decades, we will see impacts of climate change, such as rising sea level, impacts on agriculture, on water, and on health. The changes could have a particularly deep impact on agriculture, as coming climate changes could force temperatures as high as 50 degrees Celsius in some parts of the world.
The world's oldest industrial-scale nuclear power station, Calder Hall, in northwest England, is to shut down because of weak UK power prices. State-owned nuclear power firm, BNFL, said in a statement that the 196-megawatt plant, small by the standards of more modern nuclear reactors, would stop generating next month. The depressed price for electricity, coupled with the relatively high overheads of smaller stations such as Calder Hall, makes its continued operation uneconomic.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service believes that gray wolves across most of the lower 48 states have recovered to the extent that they should no longer be considered endangered, a decision that conservationists contend threatens one of the nation's greatest conservation success stories. Grey wolf populations will now be considered threatened instead of endangered. Government officials announced that they will now move towards delisting these populations under the Endangered Species Act.
You can count elephants with sound, researchers have found. A network of listening stations might help to census elusive forest elephants by recording their calls. Little is known about forest elephants. They live in remote regions of West Africa, hidden from aeroplanes and far from people. The usual way of counting them, looking for dung, is sketchy and labor-intensive.
The United States could field some unusual stealth weapons. A battalion of sea lions and dolphins trained as U.S. secret agents. The military mammals, trained under a special scheme in San Diego, can play a key role in defending fleets from attacks during war and preventing terrorism at home. The dolphins are trained to spot undersea mines and enemy scuba divers who may be trying to plant explosives in deep waters, while sea lions can work in shallow waters and even up to the land.
Following a public outcry, a scenic park in southwest China canceled plans to execute five troublesome monkeys that have repeatedly attacked tourists. One of the monkeys bit a tourist's hand in July. Another monkey tore off a female tourist's skirt. Park managers said later that they were instead considering plans to take the monkeys to another area far away from the park.
A blinker at night on Indian roads may no longer be an indication of an approaching vehicle. It could soon mean an elephant is on its way. Around 30 domesticated elephants in Delhi will sport reflectors to avoid accidents at night. Elephants are easily hit during late hours, and the accidents can be equally damaging for humans, as the animal swipe can be fatal.
The virulent Ebola virus is sweeping through the gorilla population in the plains and forests of northwest Congo and has brought terrible death to hundreds of members of the protected species, scientists said this week. 500 of the 800 gorillas registered in the reserve have died in just 5 months of the hemorrhagic fever, which has since January also killed 67 villagers in the region. Health officials in Congo have slapped a quarantine on the region, stopping anybody without special permits from traveling from village to village. This is the end of Task 1. Turn to Task 2. Task 2. You are going to hear a talk about a famous politician in the UK. You are going to hear it twice. Read the notes below. You will have 30 seconds to do this. Listen to the talk and fill in the missing data. An example has been done for you. Be as brief as possible.
Margaret Thatcher, Prime Minister of Great Britain from 1979 to 1990, was born on October 13, 1925, in the North Midlands town of Grantham, the youngest daughter of a grocer, Alfred Roberts. In 1943, she managed to enter Somerville College at Oxford, but was locked into the study of chemistry by the inflexibility of the British secondary school system. She would have preferred to study law. She turned out, however, to be a perfectly adequate chemist, in the words of one of the faculty. After she left the university, she became a research chemist for a plastics company in Essex. In the 1950 general elections, she ran for Parliament, unsuccessfully contesting the seat for Dartford. To reconcile the demands between her political interests and the need to earn a livelihood, she took a job in London testing the quality of cake fillings and ice cream for a confectionery company. A move that placed her closer to Dartford. That same year, she began night studies in law to prepare for the bar examinations, which she duly passed in December 1953. In December 1951, after a two-year courtship, she married Dennis Thatcher, a moderately successful owner of a paint and chemical company. The marriage allowed her to devote herself full-time to politics. When her twin children, Mark and Carol, were born in 1953, she was able to hire a nanny and still continue her political activities. In these, however, she was unsuccessful until 1959, when she entered Parliament at 32. She was considered an extremely diligent and capable, if not brilliant, parliamentarian, although at this early stage she had little chance to prove herself. Thereafter, she held a series of junior positions in the shadow government of Edward Heath, and in 1970, Thatcher became the Education Secretary, her only cabinet post before becoming Prime Minister. In 1979, after the Conservative victory, Margaret Thatcher became Prime Minister. She was an abrasive leader with a jarring personality, and she spent her first term removing those officials whom she deemed wet. In November 1990, Thatcher's position as head of the party was challenged by Michael Heseltine, her former Minister of Defense. Although Heseltine failed to secure the party leadership, Thatcher announced her resignation on November 22, 1990, and she was eventually replaced by one of her supporters, John Major.
Listen again and check your answers.
Margaret Thatcher, Prime Minister of Great Britain from 1979 to 1990, was born on October 13, 1925, in the North Midlands town of Grantham, the youngest daughter of a grocer, Alfred Roberts. In 1943, she managed to enter Somerville College at Oxford, but was locked into the study of chemistry by the inflexibility of the British secondary school system. She would have preferred to study law. She turned out, however, to be a perfectly adequate chemist, in the words of one of the faculty. After she left the university, she became a research chemist for a plastics company in Essex. In the 1950 general elections, she ran for Parliament, unsuccessfully contesting the seat for Dartford. To reconcile the demands between her political interests and the need to earn a livelihood, she took a job in London testing the quality of cake fillings and ice cream for a confectionery company, a move that placed her closer to Dartford. That same year, she began night studies in law to prepare for the bar examinations, which she duly passed in December 1953. In December 1951, after a two-year courtship, she married Dennis Thatcher, a moderately successful owner of a paint and chemical company. The marriage allowed her to devote herself full-time to politics. When her twin children, Mark and Carol, were born in 1953, she was able to hire a nanny and still continue her political activities. In these, however, she was unsuccessful until 1959, when she entered Parliament at 32. She was considered an extremely diligent and capable, if not brilliant, parliamentarian, although at this early stage she had little chance to prove herself. Thereafter, she held a series of junior positions in the shadow government of Edward Heath. And in 1970, Thatcher became the Education Secretary, her only cabinet post before becoming Prime Minister. In 1979, after the Conservative victory, Margaret Thatcher became Prime Minister. She was an abrasive leader with a jarring personality, and she spent her first term removing those officials whom she deemed wet. In November 1990, Thatcher's position as head of the party was challenged by Michael Heseltine, her former Minister of Defense. Although Heseltine failed to secure the party leadership, Thatcher announced her resignation on November 22, 1990, and she was eventually replaced by one of her supporters, John Major.
This is the end of Task 2. Turn to Task 3. Task 3. You are going to hear a talk about the future of computing. You are going to hear it twice. Study the notes below. You will have 45 seconds to do this. Listen to the talk and fill in the missing data. An example has been done for you. Do not write more than 3 words.
Our expert in today's science program is May Kurtz, who has kindly agreed to share her views on the future of artificial intelligence. Welcome, Ms. Kurtz. Is it true that the year 1949 could be regarded as the beginning point of history of computing?
Well, yes. In 1949, the world's first stored program computer was built by Morris Wilkes. It was the size of an average sitting room.
Well, there have been big changes in the computer technology. For example, by now there are more than 100 million internet users worldwide. Could you predict what changes are to be expected by the year 2009?
Well, personal computers with high-resolution visual displays come in a range of sizes, from those small enough to be embedded in clothing and jewelry, up to the size of a thin book.
Wow, that's quite extraordinary.
Most users have servers in their homes and offices, where they keep large stores of digital objects, including software, databases, documents, music, movies, and virtual reality environments.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The generation of paper documents is dwindling as books are being rapidly scanned and stored. Documents circa 2009 include embedded moving images and sounds. Most routine business transactions, purchases, travel, reservations take place between a human and a virtual personality. Often, the virtual personality includes an animated visual presence that looks like a human face.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Intelligent roads are in use, primarily for long-distance travel. Once your car's computer guidance system locks onto the control sensors on one of these highways, you can just sit back and relax. Local roads, though, are still predominantly conventional. Bioengineered treatments for cancer and heart disease have greatly reduced the mortality from these diseases.
Really huge changes are to come.
Yes, but that's not all. By the year 2019, we expect computers to be largely invisible and embedded everywhere. In walls, tables, chairs, desks, clothing, jewelry, and bodies.
Who would have imagined?
Paper books or documents are rarely used, and most learning is conducted through intelligent, simulated software-based teachers. People are beginning to have relationships with automated personalities, which have reliable memories and programmable personalities, and use them as companions, teachers, and caretakers. People attempt to protect their privacy, but privacy continues to be a major political and social issue. The human lifespan has increased to more than 100. Computerized health monitors built into watches, jewelry, and clothing diagnose sickness and provide a range of remedial recommendations.
That's fascinating, but also a bit intimidating. Could you describe the changes we are facing by the turn of the century?
Well, there's no longer any clear distinction between humans and computers. Machine-based intelligences derived from extended models of human intelligence claim to be human, although their brains are rather electronic. Because most information is published using standard assimilated knowledge protocols, information can be instantly understood. The goal of education and intelligent beings is discovering new knowledge to learn.
Thank you for sharing this information with us today in this interview. It was quite interesting and enlightening.
You're welcome. Listen again and check your answers.
Our expert in today's science program is May Kurtz, who has kindly agreed to share her views on the future of artificial intelligence. Welcome, Ms. Kurtz. Is it true that the year 1949 could be regarded as the beginning point of history of computing?
Well, yes. In 1949, the world's first stored program computer was built by Morris Wilkes. It was the size of an average sitting room.
Well, there have been big changes in the computer technology. For example, by now there are more than 100 million internet users worldwide. Could you predict what changes are to be expected by the year 2009?
Well, personal computers with high-resolution visual displays come in a range of sizes, from those small enough to be embedded in clothing and jewelry, up to the size of a thin book.
Wow, that's quite extraordinary.
Most users have servers in their homes and offices, where they keep large stores of digital objects, including software, databases, documents, music, movies, and virtual reality environments.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The generation of paper documents is dwindling as books are being rapidly scanned and stored. Documents circa 2009 include embedded moving images and sounds. Most routine business transactions, purchases, travel, reservations take place between a human and a virtual personality. Often, the virtual personality includes an animated visual presence that looks like a human face.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Intelligent roads are in use, primarily for long-distance travel. Once your car's computer guidance system locks onto the control sensors on one of these highways, you can just sit back and relax. Local roads, though, are still predominantly conventional. Bioengineered treatments for cancer and heart disease have greatly reduced the mortality from these diseases.
Really huge changes are to come.
Yes, but that's not all. By the year 2019, we expect computers to be largely invisible and embedded everywhere, in walls, tables, chairs, desks, clothing, jewelry, and bodies.
Who would have imagined?
Paper books or documents are rarely used, and most learning is conducted through intelligent, simulated, software-based teachers. People are beginning to have relationships with automated personalities, which have reliable memories and programmable personalities, and use them as companions, teachers, and caretakers. People attempt to protect their privacy, but privacy continues to be a major political and social issue. The human lifespan has increased to more than 100. Computerized health monitors, built into watches, jewelry, and clothing, diagnose sickness and provide a range of remedial recommendations.
That's fascinating, but also a bit intimidating. Could you describe the changes we are facing by the turn of the century?
Well, there's no longer any clear distinction between humans and computers. Machine-based intelligences derived from extended models of human intelligence claim to be human, although their brains are rather electronic. Because most information is published using standard assimilated knowledge protocols, information can be instantly understood. The goal of education and intelligent beings is discovering new knowledge to learn.
Thank you for sharing this information with us today in this interview. It was quite interesting and enlightening.
You're welcome. This is the end of the listening paper. Now turn to the reading paper.